Good evening. It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. Just a little amen? Come on. Amen. There we go. All right. All right, just a brief overview of my sermon. The topic is Jesus as the ultimate sacrifice. Firstly, I'm going to answer I've got five questions. The first one is, who is Jesus? The second one is, why did he come? The third is, whose sin did he come to die for? Then I have, did he know that he was going to be tortured? And fifthly, why didn't he find another way? Now, but before I begin, I would like to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach tonight. I thank you for the youth group, Lord. It's only been a couple weeks and we're already starting stuff. I pray that you'll give me a clear mind, Lord. Help me to speak soundly and remember all my notes. I pray that you'll protect everyone this Christmas traveling. And I thank you that you sent your son, not to judge, but to seek and to save the lost. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the first question, who is Jesus? Let's start in John 3:16. Please turn there with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus is the Son of God. He came to die for us. Next is Jesus as the Son of Man. Please turn with me to Matthew 20, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. He was the Son of God and the Son of Man. He was born of Mary, a virgin, and he came to die for our sins. Next is Emmanuel. Just like the song Abby and Joanna just sang for us, please turn to Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Next is Savior. Go two verses back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This actually, in this verse, is two names, Jesus, as everyone calls him, and then he saves, so he is a savior. And then, for a whole bunch more, please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There's half a dozen more, and the list goes on and on. But most importantly, Jesus is the Son of God. He came to this world to die for our sins. That's just astounding when you think about it. He came from a perfect place to die for the likes of me and you. Now, but why did he come? Right on to our next point. Turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 19, verse 10. That's Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We were lost. Without God, we are nothing. That's why Jesus came. One of the reasons he came was to seek and save the lost. That is us and everyone in this world. The next point is he came not to judge, but to save. Please go to John chapter 3, verse 17. I just read this a couple minutes ago, but once again, here it is. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus, he came from a perfect place. He is perfect. He could have easily judged us right then and there. But through his mercy and his love for us, he died for us instead. Next, please go to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sin. But in a sacrifice there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. And if please go over to verse 14. For by the one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. The offerings that the Jews gave every certain amount of time for their sins just wouldn't cut it, because they just have to keep doing it and keep reminding them. So God sent Jesus to be the final sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice. He had never sinned. He was perfect for us. He was the perfect Lamb of God. Next, go to chapter 20, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Like I mentioned, Jesus was perfect. He could have easily come here, set up his home, his kingdom, and ruled us. Instead, he served. I remember one, I can't remember the reference, but when he washed the disciples' feet, that was a servant's job. Usually that was the lowest of the low job as soon as visitors came. But instead, Jesus was there wiping the feet of those who served him. It blows my mind. Next point is, whose sin did he come for? Please turn with me to Romans 3, 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Right there. We all sinned. We've all fallen short. None of us can make that. We just can't get into heaven. We're all evil, essentially. Now go over to John 3:16 again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his Son to the world. Not just me, not just you, not just our families, but the world. Please now turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That pretty much just says it all right there. He died for the ungodly. But who is the ungodly? I'm the ungodly. You're the ungodly. President Obama is the ungodly. Mitt Romney, he's the ungodly. But so many times we forget that Jesus died for everybody, not just us, not just the good people, but he died for people like Saddam Hussein, like Osama bin Laden, like Adolf Hitler, like Adam Lanza. If you don't know, he was the one that took the weapons into Sandy Hook Elementary and shot 26 people. That's the fact that he didn't just die for what we call the good people, but also those evil people. That's, like I said before, that just blows my mind. But did Jesus know that he was going to be tortured before he came to this earth? Did he? Please go to Matthew chapter 17, verse 22. Now while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and on the third day he'll be raised up," and they were exceedingly sorrowful. True, Jesus did know that on the third day he was going to be raised up. But even now, we know that after we die, we move on to the next life in heaven or hell, depending upon what we believe. But even then, I don't want to go in a horrifying way. I'd rather it be quick. But Jesus knew he was going to be tortured. He was going to be tortured in one of the most excruciating ways you could be. I would rather get out of that, but he didn't. Just a couple chapters over, Matthew chapter 20, verse 17. Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And on the third day he will rise again." Like I mentioned just one point ago, he was going to be mocked, he was going to be scourged, and this is the Son of God we're talking about. This isn't just some low person, a criminal, someone who would deserve this. This is someone who's perfect, who never sinned and never made a mistake, came down from the perfect place to this world to die for us. But why didn't he find another way? He had the 12 legions of angels at his command. Why didn't he call them down, kill everybody that didn't like him, and set up a kingdom here? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. Then he came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with them Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time, he went up and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Jesus, he knew what was coming. He asked God, if this is not your will, then take me out of this. He knew what was going to happen. He wasn't really looking forward to it, I think. I mean, most people want it. But still, he still went through it. The reason why he did it and why he didn't find another way is because he loved us. He knew that someone perfect had to die for our sins because we couldn't do that ourselves. No matter how many sacrifices we made, there's no way we could have become that good. And because of that, he died for us. He knew that there was no other way. And now, I'd like to keep a couple of points that we can hold on to. And this is what I really want you to remember, these next couple points that I'm going to make. Remember them, write them down, and just hold on to them. Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. "By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Jesus was the one sacrifice, and we don't need to make any more sacrifices. He died for us, and he was the final sacrifice. Next, go to Hebrews 13, verse 5. Chapter 13, verse 5. "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" Wow. That's the most powerful being in the entire universe. It's uncomprehensible what he can do for us. And he will never leave us nor forsake us. No matter what we go through, no matter what we do, he'll always be there. I mean, that's... Let's go out. Let's start preaching. Let's just go into the streets. Like, he'll be with us. But then please go to John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. That's what Jesus did. But we weren't his friends. We were in his eyes, what we do is evil. And yet still, he died for us. That's greater love has none than this, that a manly life is down, lay down his life for his friends. Now, God loves us enough to send his only son to die for us. Now, how many of us would send our sons, our daughters, our brothers, sisters, favorite pets, just anyone? How many of us would send that to die for evil people? Even just not even for evil people, for me. I would hope you wouldn't want to do that. I mean, I wouldn't want to send any of my siblings to die. I'd rather go instead. But God didn't do that. Instead, he sent his perfect son, his only son, to die for us. And the main point that I want to leave with you tonight is the realization of how much God must have loved us for him to watch his only son die for us. Not, it wasn't a quick death. He had to watch his son be tortured, be mocked, hit in the face, spit on, crown of thorns, whipped, and then hung on a cross for several hours for us. That right there, that's astounding. And I'd like to close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you sent your son to die for us, Lord. I pray that you'll help us to remember that. Help us to realize that you love us more than anybody else. Help us to realize that your son died for us, not just for us, but to give us something. All we have to do is ask for it, Lord. It's free. I pray that you'll help everyone to have a good night, Lord, to enjoy the rest of their Christmas. And Lord, help them just to spread the love of God around. In Jesus' name, amen.